Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. Welcome, friends. You are listening to another episode of the She Said Project Podcast. I'm your host, Jeanette Jerzyk, and with me as always,
founder Carrie Rosso.
Carrie, how are you today?
But I'm super excited to see our guest, Jan Seely.
So our guest today is Jan Seely. She was a part of the Champaign-Urbana cast in 2015, and we're really excited to welcome her to the studio today to take a moment to remember that powerful story that she shared with us on stage.
I love so many things about Jan Seely. I have her voice in my head so often. There was a quote from her piece. Can I go ahead and say it?
Yeah.
Can I spoil it? It was, you can let grief make you bitter or better. And she's just this inspiring person that chose to make things better, to make herself better instead of bitter. And my go-to is I'm like, let's do this. Let's get really bitter. Let's get down in it. So whenever I'm tempted by that, here we go. I'm about to get my bitter on. I just think of Jan and I have her voice in my head.
That's the power of women's stories. You keep her with you to inspire you as needed.
Yes. Right? It might not come naturally to me, but when I know there's right and wrong and I'm tempted to go down the wrong path, so many women's stories are in my head. And I think I'm either going to be ashamed. Someone's going to shame me from the stage when I've made the wrong choice, but I'll know in my own heart. And I don't want to be that person at the end that says, I chose bitter. I want to be a Jan Seely and say, I chose better.
Well, I think it's really great that we can actually take a moment and talk to Jan, one of your own personal inspirations. Jan Seely is the co-director of the Christie Clinic Illinois Marathon Race Weekend. She's a lifelong runner, and that came up in her story as a very important theme. And her story was called Good Grief. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So good grief is kind of a play on words. Can you refresh us as to what the topic of your story was
sure.
about?
The title of my talk was Good Grief, which is, I think it's a Charlie Brown thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But basically, it's a flip on words. It was a grief talk, but instead of grief being something that was bringing me down, I found a way to talk about all the good that had happened to me in the 3 years since my husband had passed away in October of 2012.
How hard was it for you to share the intimate details of your grief and losing your husband? Just 3 years isn't a very long time. Mm-hmm. And you bravely took the microphone and shared your story in front of a large audience.
The interesting thing is I actually was trying to write a different kind of story. I worked on it for months and it just wasn't coming. And then I came up with this notion of good grief. And much the way a songwriter, when a song is right, just sits down and writes it in about 10 minutes, that's what happened. I sat down, I took a pen, and Carrie, you were part of the editing process. What I wrote and what I said that night was pretty similar. So it just kind of fell out of me. And it was a combination of new people coming into my life, embracing parts of my life, meeting people that maybe were a part of my life in an earlier time, but now they were different. It was hard. But one of the things that I've learned that's very helpful and very soothing to someone in grief is to find ways to keep the memory of your loved one alive. And so I really felt like that whole talk, I felt like Joe was with me that night and he gave me the strength to be able to get up there and do that. That and like a zillion hours of practicing.
Yes.
Because you girls, you run a tight ship.
Yeah. No one has ever rehearsed or practiced as much as Jan Seely.
Yeah.
No, she was amazing. And we know the impact that sharing your story had on the women in your community. So let's take a moment and we're going to share the clip from the show, from the live show, and share it with our new friends.
Good evening.
3 years ago this week, I lost my sweet husband, Joe,
after his brave 21-month battle with leukemia. Joe and I were college sweethearts. We moved to Champaign-Urbana in 1987 to go to grad school at the University of Illinois, thinking we'd eventually move back to our native New England. We never made it. We were married 26 years, and I can honestly say they were all pretty damn happy. We were a perfect match of kindred souls, a great team, tall and short, quiet and loud, faster and fast. We had common interests, shared goals, different strengths, unconditional love. But Joe's untimely passing meant living the rest of my life without him. How was I going to manage the grief that engulfed me? ambushing me constantly, like when I would call his cell phone number out of habit. Grief that pierced my heart so deeply, I had to get a pacemaker to fix it. As a society, we don't like to talk about grief. It's just easier to avoid that subject altogether. I mean, who wants to tackle that 5-ton elephant in the room? Well, tonight, I am going to talk about grief and tell you, maybe even convince you, that grief can be a good thing. Grief has taught me that tears are good. When we cry, we purge our bodies of toxic chemicals. Really, this is true. It is. I read it in a book that Dr. Joyce Brothers wrote after her husband died. If we don't cry, the bad stuff does not have a way to get out of our bodies. Thank you, grief. Grief taught me to face fire. I knew that joining the grief support group offered by Carl's Hospice program would be brutally hard, and it was. Each class was like taking a fire hose to the face. Becoming a student of grief, I learned there's no free pass on grieving. I just had to do it. But by actively choosing to grieve, I was exercising some control over an overwhelming situation. Thank you, grief. Grief has helped me connect more deeply to my running. Now, running was a huge part of my life with Joe and remains a huge part of my ongoing recovery. I run to connect with Joe's spirit. On an early morning run in the dark, with a sky full of stars and a full moon still visible overhead, I absolutely feel his presence, and I'm uplifted by it. Before he died, Joe asked me to enter specific races and to run in places that he wouldn't get to. My running has taken me to the top of Pikes Peak, to the trails of Boise's Bogus Basin, and far beyond. I'm running more than ever and enjoying it like never before. So thank you, grief. Grief helped me get over my fear of flying. Now, Joe's death had the unfortunate timing of being close to when my younger son, Paul, was heading to California for college to join his older brother, Jake, who was already there as a grad student. I was going to have an empty nest, but not the one I envisioned a few years ago. I was staring down a big, empty house. No Joe, no kids, just me and the mice. Grief encouraged me to flip that scenario on its head, to use my new life as an opportunity to seek as much travel and adventure as possible. In the past 3 years, I've traveled to Spain, and to France, and to California to visit the kids more times than I can remember. Now, this is a big deal, because this amount of travel involved a lot of planes, and I've been a fearful flyer my entire life. But if I was going to embrace this new lifestyle, I had to get over my fear of flying. Thank you, grief. Grief has also showed me how to honor somebody's memory in unique and meaningful ways. Working with the Urbana Park District, we buried Joe's remains at the base of a Majesty sugar maple tree planted near the large pavilion in Crystal Lake Park and installed a handsome and sturdy Memorial Joe bench near the tree. We also honored Joe by creating a memorial fund to benefit the local soccer club that both of our boys played in and that Joe coached in for years. Through the incredible generosity of family and friends, we were able to endow the Joe Fund, which now has almost $100,000 in it. Since Joe coached the youngest kids in the club, we now buy all the uniforms for the U9 boys and girls teams each fall. Joe's spirit is alive and well in Champaign-Urbana. Thank you, grief. Grief has taught me to lean on friends and to be open to new ones. I would not be surviving and standing here tonight without the endless love and support of my family and friends. But I've also been blessed in the time since Joe died to have some new friends come into my life. People who I believe were placed in my path at this time because I needed them to be. I like to think that Joe sent them. So Joe, thank you. Grief has made me want to bring happiness to others. I try harder to find joy in every day and not to complain or let dumb, petty things bother me. I get immense joy from bringing happiness to other people. As the co-race director of the 20,000 runner Christie Clinic Illinois Marathon, I'm the main person who handles calls and emails from thousands of entrants. If an entrant has a question or problem, I'm their girl. My real job title, apparently, is the make people happy person. I love this job. When I make other people happy, it makes me happy too. So thank you, grief. Grief has taught me to be more patient and to have greater faith. Joe had the patience of Job. Remember, I did tell you he coached youth soccer. Since he died, I've found the faith to believe that whatever my future is, it will unfold exactly as it was meant to be, and to be at peace with that. Thank you, grief. And lastly, grief has taught me to live for the moment. Giving myself over to living for the moment frees me from the pain of Joe's illness and watching him die little by little in front of my eyes. Today is Saturday, and I'm going to do my best to live it fully. Tomorrow, Sunday, I'm going to do the same. I'm mindful of enjoying all the small moments in life. Be in the moment is my mantra. Thank you, grief. The grief I've endured from losing Joe has made me a kinder, better, more empathetic person, a more thoughtful person. I'm stronger and more resilient than I ever thought. I now know I can survive anything. I had these traits before Joe died. I just didn't know it the way I do now. Thank you, grief. Grief can make us bitter or better. I choose better. And so, I'll keep on living and cry when I need to and face fire every day and be a joyful and dedicated runner and seek even more travel and adventure and honor Joe's memory in unique ways and hold my family and friends dear and make people happy and be more patient and have more faith and live for the moment. Thank you, grief.
That was Jan Seely sharing Good Grief from the Champaign Urbana cast, if that's what she said, 2015. Jan's here with us in the studio. Carrie, you were part of the process of her creating that story. Were you nervous? Were you excited? How did you think the audience was going to respond?
I was not nervous. I knew, so Jan might not agree with this assessment, but I see her as sort of a perfectionist, and she wanted to make sure she took seriously the impact that sharing a story would have and that there were other people in the audience who had gone through it, were going through it. So she really put her heart into it, and I could see what it was doing for her, but I could see people in the audience. I could see people nodding their heads. I could see people wiping their tears away, yes. And I thought, that's where it is, right there.
We've all been touched by loss. We've all been touched by grief. So Jan, now that we've revisited that beautiful memory, you know, how do you feel today? It's been a couple more years. Obviously, life goes on. Tell us where you are in life and in your grieving process.
Yeah. Anybody who has lost a loved one, I mean, time does help. I would say that's one of the only things that really does matter, or that really time is one of the only things I've found that has really helped. But I've stayed very involved with the grief community here in town, very active with the Carl Touchstones group, which is a monthly group that people who have gone through their traditional 8-week program. You know, I still miss Joe every day. I see my younger son, Paul, has grown some body parts that are Joe's, which he was only 17 when Joe died. And, you know, there's things about him that are so much like his dad. dad. So, you know, our whole family still, you know, misses him every day. He has found ways to, you know, we talk about mystical events in grief, and he has ways of communicating with me. He almost always makes an appearance before the Illinois Marathon in a way that is so comforting to me and just makes me know that he's here. And, you know, it's not the kind of thing you think about. You don't necessarily, you're not looking for stuff, but now that he's not here, I'm always looking. I know the ways that he speaks to me.
And, well, you said in your story that you knew he was there that night supporting you, that he empowered you to share that story.
Right.
So that you can touch the lives of other people.
Yeah. If I can tell a quick story. I mean, blueberries were kind of the fruit that we remember Joe by, because when he was writing his blog, one day we collected blueberries from our backyard, and you know, life is good when you can have a bowl of cereal with blueberries. So enjoy blueberries became kind of a battle cry for how we all should live. We should all enjoy the blueberries. And about 5 weeks before the race, I went over to Panera to pick up some blueberry bagels for friends who were visiting. And I did it through the drive-thru. And when I went to check out, the young man said, because he asked me if I had a Panera number, and I did. And by the time I got up to the little window, he leaned out and said, "Are you related to Joe Seeley?" And I said, "You mean like the Joe Seeley that like died a few years ago?" He said, "Yeah, that Joe Seeley." I said, "Yes, he was my husband." He goes, "Well, I want to let you know, my name is what it was, and I'm 17 now, but when I was 7 and 8, I was on his soccer team, and he was the best soccer coach I ever had, and I am partly the man I am today because of him. Here are your bagels, Mrs. Seeley."
Oh my
and
goodness.
I had to like pull into a parking space at the Panera and cry, and I thought, there's my Joe. And then when my friends arrived from Kankakee, they had stopped at a winery on the way, and they didn't know anything about the blueberries, and they walked in. They said, "We bought you a bottle of wine while we were at the winery, and don't you know what kind of wine it was? Blueberry wine."
Blueberry wine.
So, I mean, that's pretty cool. I go like, yeah, he's still here, you know? So, you know, where am I? I'm just every day trying to, you know, put one foot in front of the other, be a good person, be joyful, still find and be comforted by some of the same things that I talked about in my piece. It was such an honor to be part of that, because people don't want to talk about grief. I think I said, you know, if you don't choose to grieve, it's going to get you later. And it's not going to ask your permission. We don't get to not do it. So either you do it on your own terms, or you do it later and it's not going to be convenient. I can guarantee you that. So that is a message that I've continued to be very involved in. A number of my close friends have become widows in the last 5 years. And so I like to be there as somebody who's just a little bit farther down the road, but I've seen a few things and I can help them understand how they're feeling, that they're not crazy, and just travel along with them. I get a lot of joy from that.
And I think you give permission. One of the things that you, that night, like you said, people don't often, it isn't comfortable to talk about grief. Mm-mm. It isn't funny. It isn't, and it's hard. And you sort of open that door for people to talk about it and talk about it openly. And one of the things that touched me was you said that you and Joe had actually talked about, you know, what races you would do when you would carry on without him. And and so the same thing. Then when I'm talking, it opened the door for me to talk to my spouse, who neither of us, as far as we know, are going to pass anytime soon. But to talk about things that, like, you know, if I'm not here, you know, like for me, okay, here are the people you can marry and here are the people you can't.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because you have like certain people know how to, I still don't know how to use a damn grill. I mean, because that was Joe's category. Yeah. So I don't know if I can say that on there.
Yeah.
But you know, you do have to learn how to, you know, do things for yourself. And there is a natural division of labor when you have a partner. And more than anything, he was my biggest fan. And I miss having that. My kids, of course, think I'm nice. And I'm, you know, when I'm rocking stuff with the race, they pay me the highest compliment by calling me a bad A. I'm like, yeah, I got that. But, you know, you just miss that.
Well,
you do.
You said you choose better. And all the amazing things that you do for your community, the events that you put on, you really do reach out to make lives better. And now you're the one who gets to listen to the stories, and you're the one that gets to have a positive impact on the women in your community. So I want to say thank you for that. I think you're right. Life is better with a big bowl of blueberries. And clearly it's a sign that Joe continues to cheer you on from the sidelines. So thank you,
Jan,
for being with us today and sharing your story. We know through the She Said Project that being bold and brave and vulnerable and sharing your personal stories can have an impact on the lives of women, not just in your community, but across the globe. And so thank you for being part of our mission of women supporting women.
You're welcome. And congratulations on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of The She Said Project and That's What She Said LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives. Learn more at sterlingwealthmanagement.com.